problem.
People need to calm down, get a little less politically correct, and I would say, you know, love everybody.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in.
This is a freak show.
An intergalactic freak show.
What do you make of that?
It's about right.
I keep telling my colleagues that this is the new normal.
God help us all.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Well, who wouldn't want an opportunity to talk to Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty?
Well, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, who host the popular radio talk show, ask the same question of their listeners, and here's their response.
I'm sorry, I just, the nerves are so bad.
I give you America itself.
This is Ed McMahon, and now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Hey, señor.
Joe's on one side of the Mexican-U.S. border at El Paso. I'm on the other side.
Sí, señor.
Dimly lit room right on the border in El Paso. And today we're under the tutelage of our general manager.
In this corner, standing 6 foot two, 239 pounds, almost a beast but not quite, the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, in this corner. Standing kind of tall and skinny-ish and semi-handsome. The failed senatorial candidate for presidential hopeful, Beto! Gonna get you a beating, O'Rourke!
Gonna get you a beating?
Gonna get you a Beto beat. A beachy beat. Yeah, I'm still working on it.
Okay.
Beto, why don't you come back to me?
And you said the president's almost obese, but he's not?
Yeah, his last medical report, they had him like 1 pound under the obese rating.
Yeah, he was a 29 BMI and 30 is obese. So he was, I wonder if he said, hey, could you just keep that under obese? Because it's going to be nonstop jokes if it's over 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so apparently the two of them were giving speeches in El Paso last night.
And we have clips of that and some analysis and whatnot. On that whole story.
It's the whatnot that's really going to be entertaining. With us.
It seems pretty clear to me that Beto O'Rourke is not running for president. He's running for U.S. Senate in Texas.
You are the only person saying that
in
the American media. No, I think you're right. I think you're clearly right. But the jabbering heads of the media, that's not exciting enough for them. It's all about the presidency. Everything's about the presidency all the time.
Right. And his speech in El Paso at the same time within eyesight of the president's speech? I guess they could see the rallies from each other. Oh. El Paso ain't that big, if you've ever been there. But his speech might work in a state whose demographics have changed enough that he could be elected U.S. senator, but I don't think it's a national message.
No, indeed. Beto, he is an open borders guy.
Pretty close to it.
Holy cow. I heard the tapes of what he was saying, and then his followers? Would you make this entire country a sanctuary country? A couple of his followers said, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody who wants to come in. Your poor huddled masses, they started quoting from the Statue of Liberty, which is a poem, not a statement of national policy.
So maybe the good thing about two speeches in one night with different philosophies is we get closer to this American conversation about illegal immigration and figure out where we are, do something about it one way or the other, or say we don't care.
Yep.
If we don't care. That's not my position, but. Let's introduce everybody on the squad to kick off the show. There's our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Mike?
I'm all right. I'm just overwhelmed. Valentine's Day is almost here, and
it's overwhelming.
Well, I haven't done anything yet. I haven't hit the dollar store yet, and I was going to call Chili's and see if they take reservations. So we'll see how it goes. But Valentine's Day, it's a tough.
Love is in the air. Yeah.
Chili's is a good call. Yeah. Right there.
It probably is, actually.
I think I'm getting my wife the new iPhone, which she needs. So is that a valid? Nice. Is that nice? If you wait to get something that she needed or we were going to get anyway,
well, is
and you get it on Valentine's Day, is that count?
Well, it's not a vacuum. I mean, it's shiny and fun.
Has she needed a new phone for like seven Valentine's days?
Well, no, but for a while.
Okay.
She's at that battery life place where your phone just shuts down when it gets down to like 30 or whatever. Mm. Apple does to force you into a new phone. Anyway, there's Positive Sean, whose smile lights up the room. Maybe I'll just take her to Chili's like Mike. Maybe I'll see you. Maybe we'll have booths back to back.
Just
yeah, that'd be great.
Get her a new battery for the phone. You make an appointment at the Genius Bar for August.
Right.
Yeah, really.
Take an hour out of your day.
Right, and then go to a store just to get a battery.
Yes, Positive Sean, how are you?
I, a single man, have already got my Valentine's Day planned out. It is, as I like to call it, especially in moments where I'm not coupled, it is National Single Persons Appreciation Day, because all this stress people are talking about, I don't feel it. Mm. There's a new video game, computer game coming out that is actually releasing on that day, and I don't know if that's a sign that they know their core audience or not.
I think that's not a coincidence. That's pretty funny.
But it's coming out. My my group of gamer friends, we're all planning on playing it. It's essentially the computer version of the game Risk, so it'll take, I don't know, 19 days to finish. But yeah, it's the new Civilization 6 is coming out this, and that's what I'm going to be doing on Valentine's Day. None of this heart-shaped pizza nonsense.
My son filled out all his cards for Valentine's Day. And he couldn't remember. I said, they used to send home a list. They might have sent home a list of the names of the kids in the class, and he lost it. That's quite possible, too. But they used to send home a list when I was a kid, and he couldn't remember all his classmates. He tried to write them all down. So then And I had a backup plan. I went and got his school picture that had them all on there, and then he checked them all off.
But, oh, that was good.
It's a good practice in like the sort of things you'll do in life. It's like just an organization skill. You got a whole bunch of these things you have to fill out. You have to get all the names on them. You need to get them put together with the envelope and everything. Like, it's the sort of thing you do at work regularly.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good task.
Yeah.
There's Marshall Phillips, who does our news every day. How are you, Marshall?
I'm doing very well. You know, I went back to my old scratcher ways. I did not reuse that fancy out-of-state scratching tool that some very kind person sent to me and that produced bupkis. Went back to old-timey quarters, and gentlemen, guess what? Happy Valentine's Day. I'm bringing home the bacon once again.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Pork.
Yes.
Marshall won at gambling and is buying us breakfast. That's fantastic.
You know, those old-timey quarters,
you can't
beat them.
That's the difference. That's obvious. That's obviously the difference.
They made them with luck. That's why they're so valuable.
Yeah. Well, they're coined when America was America, if you know what I'm saying.
You got it.
If you know what I'm saying, let me know, because
what year was this particular quarter?
I think
one you had the other day was from the Carter years.
This was about 1967 or 68.
Okay. Hey, huh?
Oh, please. Yeah. Hey,
just before the hippies took over.
Hey, LBJ, how many scratchers you in today?
Exactly.
Just before the hippies took over, when a man could still have a short haircut.
Right.
Those were good times.
Or something.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this Tuesday, February 12th, the year 2019, where Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
All right, then, let's begin the show officially according to FCC rules and regs. Here we go at Mark.
He challenged us. So we have, let's say, 35,000 people tonight, and he has 200 people, 300 people. Not too good.
Not too good.
Not too good.
Not too good.
Do we know what the numbers were on the rallies for Beto and the president?
Hard to nail down. A lot of claims and counterclaims, right. Jack. Fake news. It's the era of you can't believe anything.
Hard to nail down. Well, we'll try to nail that down. I've heard a lot of different numbers.
Why don't we ask old AOC? I'm sure she'll have some numbers for us.
Speaking of AOC,
did
the Green New Deal actually include we will provide money for people who are unwilling to work? There's a controversy over that.
Well, it's closely related to the whole nobody knows what the total numbers for the dueling rallies was, because there's so many wild claims and counterclaims going around. I think she and her people realized which parts of the Red New Deal were getting mocked, and so set about pretending they weren't real.
Okay,
my belief.
We'll get into that. It's an interesting one. It might be the way all news stories are from here on out. What's coming up in your news, Marshall?
Well, Trump lights it up in Texas, as you mentioned, dueling rallies between the president and Democrat Beto O'Rourke. Political turmoil in Virginia calms, but at least one of the accusers of the lieutenant governor could be about to go very public. And we got teen smoking up again. What is going on with that?
Wow.
Don't want that.
Smoking or vaping? I'll stay here.
How does mailbag look?
Oh, it's okay.
Wow, there's a tease. We got something coming up. It's marginal.
It was like like the border compromise.
It's all right. If you got other things to do, that might be a good time to do them.
It does include one unbelievable story from the world of sport. You will repeat to your friends.
Awesome. Coming up on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Yes, the dueling speeches at the border between Beto O'Rourke and President Trump, which is a good look for Beto to be looked at as the counter to Trump in the news cycle. It's a big win for him.
Gavin Newsom of California stamping his little feet in frustration that Beto got the spotlight just as Gavin was pulling a publicity stunt of pulling the National Guard troops from the border.
But other stories we'll have to cover. The hot trend in dog shows, glitter on the testicles. Is that legal or not? It's a hot new thing.
I'm sorry, is that the dog's testicles or the handler's?
Certainly the dog's. I don't know if the handler does. And George Zimmerman keeps getting kicked off Bumble, the hot new dating app.
George Zimmerman, who
shot Trayvon Martin when a tragedy.
Good to have an update on him.
Yeah.
Mailbag.
Keeps getting kicked off Bumble, you see. He wants to date.
Our freedom-loving quote of the day comes from none other than Abraham Lincoln. It's his birthday today. Again, one day off of mine. Fact that has caused me pain throughout my life. I share a birthday with Burt Reynolds and Sarah Palin and Sheryl Crow. Not Abe Lincoln.
But not Abe Lincoln.
Not Abe Lincoln. Thanks, Mom. There are so many good ones. I'll hit you with
a
few.
Thanks, Mom.
Couldn't wait one day. Whenever I hear anyone arguing for slavery, I feel a strong impulse to see it tried on him personally.
Yeah.
That was Link. Let's see. He also said on the topic of slavery, if slavery is not wrong, nothing is wrong. And then the classic, everybody loves to throw this around. He actually said it in a speech. You can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time.
I never can get that right.
That's good
off
stuff.
Off the top of my head.
Maybe a tattoo on your arm.
On my face.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, one final one. There's a speech at Kalamazoo, Michigan in 1856. He said, "Don't interfere with anything in the Constitution. That must be maintained, for it is the only safeguard of our liberties. And not to Democrats alone do I make this appeal, but to all those who love these great and true principles." Thanks, Link. Let's see, and here's a note on that topic from Pete, who says, "Today is President Lincoln's birthday, yet Google has no doodle for him on today's screen. Yet yesterday they showed Mary Mounib. Yup, I too said who? Regular forgettables and unknowns get daily recognition, but not one of our best presidents." Okay, well, you know what Google is, right?
That's a pretty good one.
What's a pretty good one?
That's an excellent point.
You know, it's funny. I heard.
Do they think it would be too something to have Lincoln on there?
I don't know. Or they just don't care. It's a bunch of unicorn riding tech heads, young, and they have their own thing. They have their own point of view, and it ain't mine. Moving along here, Jacob from the Bay here, catching up on the show. Positively stupid. Oh, I'm afraid that is a harsh and derisive nickname for Positive Sean. Positively stupid. I actually like him, but
here I am unfazed.
I actually like him, but he deserves this.
I don't agree with that, but that's a pretty good nickname. If you don't like Sean,
well,
that's good.
Extra points. He spells it stoopid.
That is my preferred way of spelling stupid.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sean was saying he doesn't care about paying $890 for the racist Gucci sweater. It's an argument for a progressive tax. Reflexively fight all taxes. It's not about whether or not the wealthy will miss those dollars. It's about artificially limiting private financial growth and empowering wasteful government bloat. I would happily keep every dollar in the private market funding ridiculous purchases rather than funding exponentially more ridiculous government spending.
Well, sir, we get an opportunity to see where your feelings about taxes line up with others, because there's some new polling out on that, and it's pretty darn interesting.
It was
from Republicans, Democrats, and different age groups.
It's
on
also
taxing the rich.
It's also a joke. You can just laugh at jokes. Expensive things being available is, hey, are we sure we don't need to tax these people? It's a joke.
This is not the time for your silly jokes, Positively Stupid.
You've never said about somebody who buys something incredibly stupid in your mind that they have too much money. I've certainly said that.
I appreciate our friend's seriousness. Those are serious times. Pat in the Hood writes, is it possible Governor Northam of Virginia needs to stay governor because he's too stupid to go back to being a doctor? Maybe he was promoted to governor to get him out of the hospital. Those who can do, those who can't manage, those that can't manage politic. Huh.
Look, Virginia needs healing, and who better to heal than a doctor?
Well, that's you can't argue with that.
That's a good point, because doctors heal people, is why. And Virginia also needs healing. There's a lot of calling of people stupid so far in mailbag today. I apologize. I'm hoping this next note does. Oh, it's a welcome contribution from a woman. We so need a woman around here. Why don't you quit, would you, so we can replace you with a woman? Brother Schmother, this is on the Bezos, Jeff Bezos and his mistress and the leaks and the tabloids and the brother and the rest of it. If you're only the mistress of the world's richest man, wouldn't you want his wife to find out in a wave of humiliation and quickly file for divorce? I think the girlfriend released them to her brother with much purpose. Enlisted her bro to help drive the wedge. Jeff might have started saying, our marriage is actually okay right now. I'm beginning to think, and her wheels started spinning.
You know, I don't know why, but I had never occurred to me that she'd be into Bezos for his money. He's the richest man in the world. It would have to turn your wheels, even if you're a solid, salt-of-the-earth, grounded, money's-not-your-life person.
Right.
It would have to slip into your subconscious. Wow, if we got together, he's the richest man in the world.
I found out how he initially met Sanchez, but I can get into that later.
All right, well, go ahead. Do it now, because we don't have time for the sports story I promised you would be the thrill of your day.
I look forward to that right now.
Because I lie all the time.
She was married to the head of a talent agency guy that, as Amazon was getting more into the entertainment business, they used to go out on double dates. Amazon and his wife with this head of the talent agency and his wife, Miss Sanchez. That's how they met. Now they're both divorced.
Double date with another couple. And your spouse ends up with their spouse.
Yikes.
Boy, next time you're on a double date, look across the table. He or she hotter than you?
Well, what about the two leftover spouses? How do they get along?
Marshall's News next on the Armstrong and Getty Show. Just came across the Valentine's present you're going to want to get. Stay tuned.
So we were talking yesterday about a hockey player's teeth flying out of his mouth thanks to a stick clearly visible on the television the other day, and I got a couple of tales. Number one, Eric was on an airplane, lucked into business class, sitting next to a guy, turns out to be a hockey player from Canada. And finally, I said, I hope you don't mind my saying, but the stereotype of hockey players is that they get a lot of facial injuries on the ice, but you don't look any worse for wear. He said, yeah, paused for a moment, then continued, I did lose an eye.
Oh!
Yeah, way to go, Eric. Why don't you ask his wife if she's pregnant? She says, no, just overweight. You can complete the flight. And then this story, Rich Peverly, 2014, NHL player, went into cardiac arrest on the bench during a game. I remember this. So they brought him around. They put the paddles to him, brought him back around. First thing he asked as he came back was how much time was left in the first period and could he go back in? Everybody was so shaken the game had to be postponed. David ends with, so baseball players run away terrified if a raindrop falls on their heads while a hockey player effectively dies, gets revived, and then tries to go back into the game. It may have been a little dismissive to our friends in Spikes.
And the guy who got all his teeth knocked out, the coach said, that's what dentists are for. Get back out there!
Quit crying. What are you, 8 years old? You want the tooth fairy?
News now with Marshall Phillips.
Well, while President Trump held a Make America Great Again rally last night in El Paso, Texas, congressional negotiators agreed in principle on a tentative deal to avert another government shutdown. The tentative deal allots money for a barrier, but not for a wall. Trump's reaction last night to the early news.
I have to tell you, as I was walking up to the stage, they said that progress is being made with this committee. Just so you know, we're building the wall anyway. They say that progress has been made with this committee. Just now, I said, wait a minute, I got to take care of my people from Texas. I got to go. I don't even want to hear about it. So I don't know what they mean. Progress is being made significant.
So, Marshall, did you say they agreed to a barrier but not a wall? What the heck does that mean?
Well, it's basically they've agreed to spend a little over $1 billion on barriers and enhancements. That's the word that we're getting out. But they haven't officially
released, but not walls. Okay.
Yeah, they haven't officially released the details of any of this. And a lot of people are waiting now for President Trump to start tweeting this morning to see what his early reaction is.
Well, something tells me if he had gone ahead and gone over the rough outline of the compromise last night before his speech and found out that it was barely over $1 billion for barriers, something tells me that speech would have gotten really, really colorful and would have had Congress in a tailspin this morning. So it was probably better he waited. But
well, we got
where
this
ends, nobody knows. Will he sign it?
And you got the what people are calling a poison pill for beds and detention centers that has been put in.
Supposedly there's a compromise that's been worked out on that as well. But again, it's
there's no point in arguing about it until they get to the end.
Right, exactly. While the president was talking to supporters making the case for a wall, former Congressman Beto O'Rourke held his own rally in El Paso to counter the president's message.
In one of the safest cities in the United States of America. Safe, not because of walls, but in spite of walls.
It's safe in spite of walls. Oh, okay.
Secure, because we treat one another with dignity and respect. That is the way that we make our communities and our country safe.
I've walked through tough neighborhoods in a lot of different cities, and the people who are going to hurt you have no interest in whether you're treating them with dignity and respect. I mean, I would suggest not treating them with disrespect, but that is a ludicrous and childish notion of how a community is kept safe from criminals. Please, you think El Chapo is going to go easy on you? Hey, sorry I worked for the other game, El Chapo, but much respect and dignity, brother. Come on.
I just listened to highlights from Beto's speech. Did he get around to what his policy is? I didn't hear that. What is his belief about illegal immigration?
He wants everybody to be included. A lot of talk about inclusion, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
He's damn near an complete open borders guy.
Yeah.
He dances around it by speaking and greeting cardies, lovely sounding slogans and sentiments.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam appears to be on steadier ground politically today after African-American leaders in the state called on voters to go ahead and forgive the governor. Meanwhile, Virginia state lawmakers have also...
Probably based on that poll that came out over the weekend where 60% of blacks in Virginia say he should stay.
Meanwhile, Virginia state lawmakers have decided not to impeach the lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, over two rape allegations, but they say they'll still want to hear from the women accusing Fairfax. The decision was made after Fairfax met with the lawmakers during a closed-door meeting. Now, later on today, there is a report we may be hearing from one of those women. Professor Vanessa Tyson may hold a press conference later on today.
You know, I like it as a life strategy. Train yourself a protege, but make sure they're an idiot or morally reprehensible or something. I'm picturing like if we were mad at Marshall for something and wanted to be rid of him. Well, the next guy in line's a rapist, and then the guy after him's doing the same thing Marshall's doing. So, you know, I think that's job security, Marsh.
There you go.
Settle in.
Less than a year after, Michelangelo, you're going to like this. Less than a year after a bankrupt Toys R Us closed its U.S. stores and former Toys R Us kids across the country tearfully said goodbye to their childhoods, it looks like the toy chain is coming back.
Wow, like Sears.
Just this is great news. Brick and mortar.
Yes. You can't kill some of these stores.
First Sears and Toys R Us, this is a banner day.
Zombie stores, we're going to start calling them.
Before Marshall finishes the story, I'd like to point out that if a particular brand of big box store is like one of your childish, your cherished childhood memories, you're making me sad.
A former executive of the company Toys R Us is the CEO of a new company called True Kids Incorporated. He's telling the Associated Press that the brand Toys R Us should be back by the holiday season, and they're looking at options like freestanding stores or maybe shops within existing stores, and that online sales will be the key. So they have not gone away totally yet.
Just please rename it We Are Toys. The name has always bothered me.
We Are Toys. Hey, one last note. The ratings for the 2019 Grammy Awards are up from last year.
Good, I guess.
The, The show scored 19.9 million viewers, up from last year's 19.8 million viewers.
There you go, surging.
There you go. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
A good question. Do we want this person coming up next?
I want a quick, Absolutely. We're going to talk to Clayton Neville of Westwood and On One News about the dueling rallies and how well attended they were. There are various claims flying around. He is in El Paso.
That would help.
We've asked him to count individuals as they went in and out of the rally
and,
personally.
And then even if he could nail down if one rally's bigger than the other, does that mean that side wins?
That means everything, Jack.
You win the argument by more people showed up to your rally?
Oh, it's
democracy.
Exactly. It's
democracy.
It's practically a run through for the next election.
Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation. Of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So you had the president and Beto O'Rourke giving
hometown boy Beto
doing rallies there in Texas, and Beto is one of the rising stars, they tell me, of the Democratic Party. I think he's running for the U.S. Senate, not the presidency, but either way, he is going to, you know, they think bigger offices of him. This is a great opportunity to get on the national stage all talking about border security.
Indeed. Clayton Neville of Westwood One News joins us from El Paso, where he was on hand to at least be close to witnessing the rallies. Did you attend one or the other, Clayton, or how'd you handle it?
Well, you know what? It was tough to handle both, but right. Yeah, I was able to go over to both. You know, they were literally across the street, and that's no exaggeration. The president was inside the El Paso County Coliseum, and right across that small city street was a park where the Beto O'Rourke rally was held. This was a rally that was actually organized by several organizations in the El Paso area. Beto O'Rourke, the former congressman, was the headliner. And, there were thousands of people at both. We bounced around to both of them and got feedback from both sides. And both sides had conflicting opinions on this border wall.
Naturally.
And that's really what was the overall theme.
Sure.
Did
everybody keep it cool? Was everything peaceful?
For the most part, yeah. I didn't see any violence. There was some back and forth, some taunting and things like that, but really there wasn't even a whole lot of that. There was a lot of signs that people were holding up and things like that, but the organizers actually did a pretty good job of keeping everybody on their side of the street. Just
did they build
the
a wall between
that,
the two rallies?
Yes,
that would have been effective.
That would have been hilarious.
There was no wall, no, but there was some separation.
So how many people were at each rally? We need to know exactly.
Yeah, okay, so here's my guesstimate just for
one. We don't need guesses. We need exact numbers.
Okay, well, one thing is for sure, and that's that there were more supporters for President Trump there than for O'Rourke last night. He probably had, I would say, 2,000 or 3,000 more supporters than O'Rourke did. You know, there were more than 5,000, closer to 6,000 or upwards of that inside the arena last night for President Trump, and a couple thousand outside as well. I would say O'Rourke had probably 2,000 people.
Right.
So 10,000 probably total there, and most of them belonging to President Trump.
Yeah, well, okay. The President of the United States, you would hope, could get a bigger crowd than the counter talk across the street.
Could you briefly characterize Mr. O'Rourke's message about illegal immigration? Did he espouse a specific policy or policies?
Well, you know what? One of the main things he was talking about was the fact that a barrier fence that is up in El Paso does not make the city any safer. People in El Paso were really taken back by the president's comments during the State of the Union address saying that El Paso is a much safer place with a barrier in place. And statistics show that that's not necessarily the case, that crime in El Paso was down before the wall went up, and has actually increased a little after it did. There were a lot of people in El Paso that were offended by that. They felt like the president was calling their city unsafe, and it was an attack on them. And so O'Rourke really jumped on that platform,
okay,
saying that a barrier fence doesn't make it any safer.
Okay, very good. Clayton Neville of Westwood One News. Thanks, Clayton. Appreciate the report.
Thanks.
Which still doesn't tell me what Beto O'Rourke's immigration plan is, and I'm looking through this thing that's supposed to tell me, and I still don't see what his immigration plan is.
Here's a more direct thing. Okay. So he put a post on Medium, which is the same place that Jeff Bezos shared his story with
his
the
junk?
National Enquirer. Yeah, well, kind of.
His story or his junk? This is a place to share junk.
So about midway through, it says we can decide, and then he kind of lays out 10 points that all seem to kind of tie to immigration. Yes. That might give us a little bit more.
Okay, well, maybe I'll look this over then and try to figure that out, because that's the one thing I was missing from me yesterday. I think I know what the president's stance is on illegal immigration.
Right.
I didn't quite grasp what Beto O'Rourke's was. So I'll look this over. And
well, I'm preparing myself for silly greeting card sentiment, as I said earlier. And or just a very far left view of what to do with the millions and millions of illegals in the country.
And saying, I don't like the president's immigration plan is not yourself asserting an immigration policy that you support. You got to have something that you believe in to counteract what he is proposing.
That's what I was trying to figure out. So I'm into viral videos. That's what I look for every day when I get up. What's the viral video of the day? Today we got a Best Buy employee who chased somebody who'd robbed the store clear out of the parking lot and tackled him, and is getting some sort of medal for that. Don't most businesses
don't you get fired
most times?
Don't most it says former Best Buy worker, so right. I don't know if he got fired for that specifically. But have you seen this video?
Uh-uh.
Watch him tackle this dude. I got a medal from the cops, I guess. But doesn't that seem like a terrible idea to go clear out into the parking lot and wrestle with some guy? Over, they stole headphones or whatever the heck. It's looking tackle here. Ow! They hit the ground hard. God.
Wow, it's lucky. Oh, right on the curb.
Yeah.
Ouchie.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's a bunch of ways that could have gone south.
Oh, yeah. I'm not doing that. I'm telling Best Buy when they hire me.
Well, that's why they haven't hired you, coward.
I will not chase someone out into the parking lot.
How weird is it that we've gone from a country where that was absolutely clearly what would happen?
Oh, yeah. My uncle did that and got attention in his town. He worked at a bank, and a robber came in, and he chased the guy outside and sat on him till the cops got there.
Attaboy. I mean, of course you would, especially if you're the owner of the business or a longtime employee or something. You're not going to let people steal from you. But now we're encouraged. Just be passive. Call the authorities. Let people victimize you and steal from you.
Or because of the litigious nature of our society. Look, if you chase him and you tackle him, he's going to claim we hurt his back.
Right.
And then he's going to sue us for $1 million, which is a lot more than that six-pack of beer.
Right.
So just let him run off with it. That's a crazy system also.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Yeah, it makes you nuts. The more laws, the less justice.
Although that guy that just got tackled, if he claims his back hurts, I would believe him. That was some pancaking.
Well, sometimes your back hurts when you're tackled because you stole stuff.
Well, yeah, I have no problem with that.
Man, oh, man. I wish I was the foreman of every jury in America.
That's the way you'd handle it?
And when I'm a ghost, I'm going to haunt them or something, because obviously I can't be in all those rooms at once, but... Yeah, just you got a bunch of half-wits and mouth breathers saying, "Well, you know, they could have just asked them to drop the stuff." I'd slap them with my ghostly hand and say, "What kind of world do you live in?" Right, well, obviously, I would precede it with because you have to. I'd say, "What are you talking about? Let's take a step back here. Are you okay with people stealing?" No, angry specter, I'm not. Well, then something needs to be done. If there's not a negative consequence for something, you'll get more of it. Does that make sense to you? Yes, angry ghost, that makes sense. All right, now, I'm off to the next county where somebody's getting sued for, something or other.
We've been taking calls and emails from people for years about this, so if you haven't heard this stuff because we're new on your radio station... The grocery store you go into, the liquor store you go into, it's quite possible that their policy is you could walk in there, get a six-pack of beer, and say, "See you tomorrow night, Jim," and walk out the door, and they're not going to do anything.
Right.
Because that's the policy at many, many grocery stores across this country.
Which is why they get so much liquor stolen, which why they have those gigantic safety caps on the various places. States where, liquor is sold in regular stores.
We're practically to the honor system now.
Yeah.
I'm paying for it because I think I should, not because I have to.
And because we're so afraid of each other, whether it's an act of violence or an act of litigation. which is just an odd, odd way to run a society. But if you happen to be in the store and stealing a jug, mine's Tanqueray, grab me a jug while you're there. Now, did I just, that's a crime, probably.
What is?
Handle your case?
My ghost works civil law, mostly.
So you just did the Charles Manson sort of thing?
Yes.
I ordered people to commit crimes.
Right. I suborned liquor thievery.
I'm ashamed. I'm already pitching Ghost Foreman to Netflix, seeing if they can pick that up. I feel like we can serialize that into something.
I binge watched Ghost Foreman over the weekend.
I would float through the courtroom. The judge would hand me the file on the case. Thank you, Your Honor. And I drift into the jury room, flipping through the files, and get to head slapping. That's what I would do
with your ghostly hand.
Having served on a couple of juries. Well, as usual, when I talk about this, I have a two-part message. Number one, when you get called, do what you can to serve, not to get out of it, to serve. It's your duty as an American. Number two.
And besides that, it's ruining your life. The whole kids can't run on the playgrounds or you can't this or that. It's because of bad juries.
Right. And it's people like you, and I'm talking to you, who we desperately need on juries. And I guarantee you, 75 to 90% of people who've served on one or two juries would agree with me when I say it's scary. It is scary how illogical, how dumb, prejudiced, strange a lot of people are. They just don't, they lack the capacity for logical thought.
So that's interesting. I've always thought if I got accused of a crime, I would comfortably wait in my jail cell believing in our American system of justice. You're saying that's not definitely a good idea.
I would say if you're a praying person, as you sit there in the holding cell, I would pray that there are one or two jurors who, A, have the capacity for logical thought, and B, the confidence to express it. Otherwise, it's like spinning that little spinner in the game of life, you know, and who knows what the result will be.
Really?
It's scary, man.
That is troubling. That's why you hire a good lawyer, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
You are listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.